Welcome to the Christian Author Show. From fiction to enlightenment, we offer you all forms of faith-inspired books. So sit back and relax. Here's your host, Don McCauley.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Gabriel Walensky, and Gabriel is the author of 6 Million Crucifixions, How Christian Teachings About Jews Paved the Road to the Holocaust. As a result of a lifelong fascination and years of study into the question of why the Holocaust happened, Mr. Walensky used his technical background as an award-winning veteran of the computer software industry to methodically research and write the 6 Million Crucifixions. The final result is a well-structured and hard-hitting book. Gabriel, how are you?
I'm fine, Don. And you?
Good. What motivated you to write 6 Million Crucifixions?
Well, I have been fascinated by the history of the Holocaust and World War II since I was a teenager, and for many, many years I have been asking myself the question, how or why the Germans and their helpers killed Jews the way they did? Why did I hate them so much? And despite many, many books that I read about it, I could never quite comprehend what motivated these people to do what they did. Eventually, I understood, and when that happened, that motivated me to write a book and share that insight with other people who may be asking themselves the same question.
So what specifically is the book about?
6 Million Crucifixions is about, it basically traces the history of anti-Semitism in Christianity and the role that played during the Holocaust.
Now, there are a lot of books about that. So what makes your book really stand out?
It stands out in a couple of main ways. On the one hand, it provides the summary of the history of anti-Semitism, and it provides an emphasis on the genesis and evolution of this hatred. It provides a general introduction, if you will, to the history of anti-Semitism and how that evolved in Christianity. Eventually, the book distances itself from other books in that it also provides an introduction to the role of the churches during World War II and even after World War II, when the church, particularly the Vatican, helped wanted war criminals to escape justice from Europe. So it differs from other books in the sense that it combines a number of different areas of information into one small book.
So in your opinion, did Christian anti-Semitism lead to the Holocaust?
It certainly had an influence in that. In the early history of Christianity, Christianity evolved a certain aversion to Judaism and to Jews, and eventually this thing snowballed quite dramatically until it reached a very strong hatred that became quite violent. And during the last 2,000 years, there were many, many cases of violence against Jews. In essence, towards the end of the 19th century, this evolved into something different, something more politically motivated, if you will, and more pseudo-scientific, and it was racial in nature. By the time of the Second World War, this hatred was adopted by the Nazis and the other people in Europe, and when the Nazis came into the scene, when Hitler came into the scene, the German people and others were receptive to his message because they had heard all their lives from their priests, from their parents, from their teachers, that Jews were hateful, that Jews were evil, that they were minions of the devil, that they were bent on destroying Christianity, on Christian civilization, and other things of this nature. So by the time of the Second World War, people were already very, very hateful of Jews, and therefore Hitler really didn't have much difficulty in persuading people to go about in a genocidal rampage. As a matter of fact, by the time the Nazis came to power, they didn't really have to invent much, in the sense that much had been set or created by the church years before. For instance, the Nazis instituted anti-Jewish laws that were very, very, very bad. They actually disenfranchised Jews. They basically prevented Jews from working in most professions. They, in essence, stripped the civil rights of Jews in Germany and later in other countries like France, Italy, and other places. So this actually wasn't really new. The Catholic Church had passed similar laws centuries before. The Nazis also instituted another law that forced Jews to wear the yellow badge, the yellow Star of David, on their clothes, which was meant to identify Jews, to allow people to identify who was a Jew. Well, this wasn't new either. It turns out that the church had instituted that centuries before also. The only difference was that the church had forced Jews to wear yellow conical hats or a yellow badge on their clothes, and it was not the Star of David, but it was a yellow badge anyway. So it was the same thing, in essence. And the Nazis, of course, when they started to deport Jews, and they started to gather Jews from all kinds of, from all areas, and they forced Jews into ghettos, into these enclosed areas in many different cities. Well, it turns out that that wasn't new either, because the church had instituted ghettos in the Middle Ages as well, and they were present in many places in Europe, including in Rome, across the Tiber from the Vatican. So the Christian teachings about Jews were instrumental in creating a mindset for people to perpetrate the genocide that was known as the Holocaust.
What did the Christian churches do during the actual Holocaust?
Well, at the beginning, they didn't really do very much, unfortunately. At the beginning of the Nazi period, the Catholic Church had forbidden people in Germany from becoming members of the Nazi Party, and this was very good. However, in 1933, when Hitler came to power, the Vatican signed what was called the Reichskonkordat, which was a legal agreement between the Vatican and the Nazi state, and this agreement was the very first recognition of a foreign power of the Nazi state, which gave Hitler much-needed recognition. And after that, the German Catholic Church lifted the ban on membership, and that actually opened the floodgates to membership in the Nazi Party. And the German Catholics, which constituted about 45% or so, 40-45% of the German population, became members of the Nazi Party and embraced the ideology wholeheartedly. So beyond that period, Nazi Catholic priests in Germany became very involved in the Nazi cause, if you will. They helped the Nazi officials in identifying Jews by providing them with baptismal records. This allowed the Germans to identify who was a Christian and, by opposition, who was a Jew. And this, of course, at the beginning, led to the Nazis to basically take property from Jews, and eventually that led to deportation. And lastly, it led to murder. You know, these Jews who were now identified could be taken out from their homes into death camps. So that was of course pretty bad. But of course, the church unfortunately never made a direct open condemnation of the extermination of the Jews. The church never really told the faithful, "Thou shalt not kill Jews." Never said this openly. Never actually wrote an encyclical clearly saying this to the faithful, never actually made a broadcast saying clearly that what was happening at the time of the Holocaust was a crime and it was a sin. It never really excommunicated any of the Nazi leaders. You know, Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, and many others in the Nazi hierarchy were Catholics, and they were never really excommunicated by the church. And the church actually never excommunicated any of the perpetrators, the actual people pulling the trigger or dropping Cyclone B into the gas chambers. They never really excommunicated any of them. And of course, the church had no compunction in excommunicating all communists in the world after the war in one stroke. So, you know, the church should have done this to Catholics during the war, at least should have threatened with doing that so that people of faith would have actually felt compelled to at least think about killing twice, you know.
So, in your opinion, why is the current effort to canonize Pope Pius XII wrong?
Well, it is because we don't really know exactly the extent of what he did. I mean, the public record is known. Everybody knows what he did publicly. However, and that actually amounts to very little. And the problem is that many of the people who defend the Pope, including the Church, of course, claimed that he worked discreetly, that he had heroic virtues, and that he did plenty of work to save the Jews from the extermination. Many scholars are in favor of this position, and many are against this position. I would say that I'm actually more on the side that believe that the Pope didn't really do as much as he should have done during the war to save the Jews. I think he had the power to actually be much more convincing. I don't think he ever spoke loudly, clearly, and repeatedly to the faithful. So I think it's wrong to canonize him now or to push for the effort to raise him to the sainthood now, because there's so much controversy, because there's so many people that believe that he did a lot and so many people that believe that he didn't do enough. And therefore, it is important to open up the Vatican secret archives that cover the period, the World War II period or the Nazi era, and allow scholars, independent scholars, from to go into the archives and analyze the information there and scrutinize what the Pope actually did or didn't do and what the Church did and didn't do. And if the verdict of this examination shows that the Pope indeed worked tirelessly to save Jews, as his defenders claim, then I think it would be perfectly fine. I mean, the canonization of anyone is the Church prerogative, and it's an internal Church thing. However, you know, the Pope Pius XII, who ruled the Church during the Nazi era, was a very visible figure, and you know, and I think that many bad things happened during that period, and therefore, before canonizing someone, it should be absolutely clear that this person deserves to be canonized, deserves to be raised to the sainthood.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
The book will be available on April 11th on Amazon, Barnes & Noble Online, and other booksellers, and it will be available as hardcover, and it will be available also as an e-book.
Do you have a website?
We have a website for the book, and it's the URL is 6millioncrucifixions.com. And there's more information about the book there. We have I have a sample chapter if people want to read about the book and the table of contents so they can see what the book is about.
Well, this has been very enlightening. Our guest today has been Gabriel Walensky, and he is the author of 6 Million Crucifixions. Gabriel, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of the Christian Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of the Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.thechristianauthorshow.com. Fill out the form and we may be contacting you shortly. We look forward to seeing you here next time on the Christian Author Show.
Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another great book on The Christian Author Show. To find out more about the show, visit thechristianauthorshow.com.